Let's just pray. If we could just close our eyes, raise our hands. Father, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're here with us this morning. Father, Lord, I pray that our hearts are open, O God. And Lord, that everyone here, Lord God, will receive, Father God, and get what they need from this message this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will use me, O God, that it will be your words, O God, Lord, that flows, Father, out of my mouth. Father, Lord, I give you the thanks, Lord, and all praise and glory is due unto your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Please take a seat. Hallelujah. Well, what an awesome time that we had last weekend. It was like a conference, having Jerry Savelle on the Thursday, Prophet Nana on the Friday, and then Carol Briggs Saturday and Sunday. We are so privileged in this house, honestly. And as Roro mentioned, that we were at the Hill for Life on Thursday, Friday last week, and God just moved incredibly. It was an awesome time. So as I was praying about what I should share this morning, and as I was thinking about it and praying about it, I had such a sense of gratitude and just a heart of thanksgiving towards the Lord, just for everything he's been doing. And my husband, he's been, his organization that he works for, they've been going through a huge reorganization. And in his department, there were 14 jobs. And they're reducing, they're cutting 9 of the jobs down to 5. So 9 people's posts will be deleted. And all through the process, he's just had such a peace about it. And, you know, he's just not been troubled about it at all. And his attitude was just, whatever the outcome is, it will be well. And I just thought, you know, it just gave me such a sense of joy. So as I was seeking God, I just thought, I want to speak about gratitude this morning. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 to 18 for me, please. Okay, I'll read. It says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Amen. So be thankful always. How many of you know that that is a tall order, to be thankful always? We're not all like Tottenham Pete, who's always thankful and joyful, but we be thankful always. And we're not talking about the feeling you get if somebody was to give you a gift. If you were wanting a special gift all year long, your birthday comes around and you get presented with that gift, that feeling that you get. We're not talking about that feeling. That feeling that you get if there's fun and laughter because you're around friends and family that you love. We're not talking about that feeling. We're not talking about the feeling that you get if you're on a luxury 5-star holiday at some exotic location with the one you love. We're not talking about that feeling. You could tell the things that make me happy, don't you? But we're not talking about those feelings, because those feelings make us happy. Those feelings are all external. We're talking about joy. In contrast, joy is that deep rooted, strong feeling that you get on the inside when you just know with every confidence and assurance God's love, that you know that God is moving and working in your life. That's joy. That's from the inside. That's what we're talking about. And I think of it like happiness is happenings. Joy is on the inside. Joy is from Christ on the inside. Paul put it like this in Philippians 4, verse 4. He said, "Always be joyful, be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice." I'll repeat that. Philippians 4, verse 4. You don't need to turn that. Oh, you'd have. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." And Paul was saying this, and he wasn't in a place where he had the best of circumstances. Paul was saying this from prison. He was writing to the church in Philippi. And he was saying it from a place where he could have easily been thinking, well, poor me. You know, I'm stuck here, I'm in prison. And he could have been writing to them from that place of, you know, like, it's all about me. But instead, he was encouraging them. He was encouraging them to be joyful in the Lord. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, it continues by saying, pray continually. Pray continually. When we pray, what are we doing? We're communicating with God. We're talking to God. And I looked up the definition of communication. And it says it's a process by which information is exchanged between individuals. So there's an exchange. So we're praying, we're speaking. And we're receiving, so we're listening. We're listening to what God is saying to us. That's the exchange in our prayers. I want you to consider this scenario for a moment. So you've got a friend, and he's got his best friend, and they're going on a journey. They're going on a journey from A to B. And the friend has a conversation with his best friend at the beginning of the journey, and they're journeying all day long. And at the end of the journey, he mumbles, he doesn't say anything to his friend all through this journey. This journey's taken them all day. And at the end of the day, he mumbles a few words to his friend and he goes to sleep. How do you think his friend would have felt? You know, think of your best friend. Would you treat your best friend like that? Yet, that's how we treat God sometimes. Just last week in cell, Pastor Jo asked us a question. And she said, and I'm just going to ask you the same question, and you don't have to answer it, but it's something to ponder over. And at the time when Pastor Jo asked the question, I thought, wow, that's a powerful question. And Pastor Jo said, do you spend more time with God in your prayer closet than you do throughout the rest of the day? And I thought, wow. Do you spend more time praying to God in your prayer closet in the morning than you do for the rest of the day? And, you know, I thought about that. I saw that scenario and I thought, wow. You know, as a best friend, we must agree that there's no better friend than God. But yet, you know, some of us may have that prayer in the morning, keeping an eye on the clock because we've got to run, we've got to catch a train. And then last thing at night, you know, we're trying to read the Bible, trying to pray, and then before we know it, we're nodding off. But we sing that song all the time. I am a friend of God. You know, let's think about how we treat our best friends. In Genesis 5, verse 24, can we get it on the screen, please? That's Genesis 5, verse 24. It said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, in that scenario I just spoke about, I'm sure they weren't speaking about Enoch. In the Amplified Version, it said, habitually fellowshipped. Habitual fellowship, it says in the Amplified. Habitual fellowship. There we go. This was Enoch walking with God. Yes. Enoch communed with God. He communicated with God. As it said in 1 Thessalonians 5, Enoch prayed continually. He prayed continually. As we go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. That means we give thanks in the good times and we give thanks in the bad times. And we know it's easy to give thanks when everything's going well. It's easy to give thanks. You know, thank you, God. Thank you that you did that. Thank you for that job. Thank you, Lord, you came through for me. It's easy to give thanks in the good times. But when times are difficult, when you're in the midst of it and you just can't see any way out of it, we're praying, we're like, Lord, give me strength for this. Father, give me the courage I need for this. Lord, give me the wisdom for this situation. We're praying, you know, and we think we're doing the right thing because we're praying, you know, but it says give thanks in all circumstances. How often do we say, thank you, Lord, that I'm in this? It's rare that we say we're looking for a way out of it. Most of the times we're saying, Lord, get me out of this. But we're very rarely saying, Lord, thank you that I'm in this. But but 1 Thessalonians 5, and I keep coming back to it, says, give thanks in all circumstances. And I just want to read you something that I found while I was just looking for this. Sorry, I got paper everywhere. And it said, be thankful that you don't already have everything you desire. If you did, what would there be to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, for it gives you the opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. During those times, you grow. Be thankful for your limitations. They give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for every new challenge, which will build your strength and your character. Be thankful for your mistakes. They will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful when you're tired and weary, because it means you've given your all. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. Yet a life of rich fulfillment comes to those who are thankful for the setbacks. Wow. Gratitude can turn a negative into a positive. Find a way to be thankful for your troubles, and they become your blessings. Can we just go to Hebrews 12, verse 2? Because when I mentioned before, when you're in the midst of it, it's hard to see a way out of it. What do we do? How do we give thanks when we're in the midst of a trial? Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's our answer. We look to Jesus. Jesus, it says in Scripture in Hebrews, Jesus didn't look at the cross. Jesus endured the cross, but he looked at the joy that was set before him. He looked at the joy that Jesus focused on what was promised to him. That joy, the same joy that's promised to us. Yes. And he's our example. Amen. So if Jesus endured the cross, yes, because of that joy that is set before him, we too take our eyes off the circumstances. We look to the joy and the promises that's set before us, and we endure whatever it is we need to go through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. At the end of 1 Thessalonians 5:16, by the time you leave here, you're going to know 1 Thessalonians 5:16, aren't you? At the end of 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you ever wondered what God's will for you is, it's that we should be joyful. It's that we should pray. Yes. It's that we should be thankful. And that we should do it all the ways, all the time. Hallelujah. Please stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thanks, Janita. Thank you, Lord. Can we just close our eyes and raise our hands? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning, Father, for everything, Lord God, that you've revealed, Father God, in our hearts this morning, oh God. Father, Lord, we thank you that you reveal it, oh God, because you're shining your light, Father God, in those areas, Lord God, for, Lord God, anyone, Lord, that is, Father God, going through a difficult time, oh God. I pray, mighty God, Lord, that they will set their eyes on you, oh God. Father, that they will remember the joy that is set before them, mighty God. Father, Lord, I thank you, oh God, that we will, Lord, be ones that are doers of your word, oh God. Lord, not just receiving your word, not just leaving here, oh God, thinking that was a great message, that was a good word. But Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord, that we will apply, oh God, that what you have given us this morning. Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord, for all that you are, all that you do. Lord God, we thank you for the things that we see and the things that we don't see. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name.